Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cleo live on blogtalkradio.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. Join the conversation at 347-826-9597 or hit me up on Twitter at Real, RealMSCLEO. Happy Monday, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well within the sound of my voice, and welcome to Conversations with Cleo. It is March 25th, 2013. It is a delicious, breezy day here in South Florida. I know much of the Northeast and the Midwest is getting hit with some last-minute snow that Punxsutawney Phil may not have seen coming. I know how he feels, because sometimes things just happen, and planet Earth does what she wants to do. I hope everyone had a good weekend. You got some good rest, or at least you had some good fun, one of the two, and maybe some of you got lucky and did both. I definitely attempted to do the have fun and get some rest kind of vibration. I think I did a pretty good job. This past weekend here in Lake Worth, we had Pride of the Palm Beaches. And it is our Pride Festival, and we have it here this early in the year because the weather is just absolutely sweltering by June, which is when most countries and most cities throughout this United States and countries throughout the world celebrate Pride. I personally appreciate that. However, on Sunday, it was 88 degrees out there, so it was a very humid weekend. So hopefully nobody got too terribly sunburned. But I think it's quite apropos to mention that this week the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, finds itself rather busy dealing with two very, very significant pieces of legislature. One is DOMA and Proposition 8 out of L.A., or California, rather, both having to do with making it legal for married people to be gay. And that's the way that I present it. There is much information out there. Certainly it is out of our hands at this point with regard to influencing the Supreme Court. They are not supposed to be able to be influenced by anyone. But people are certainly making their opinions heard. There are people who are camping out despite this hellacious weather. They are camping out in order to be able to get a seat in the Supreme Court. This is certainly, again, as I start to sound like a broken record, these are historical times, my dears. As well as they will begin their closer look at the Voters' Right Act and whether or not it is constitutional. So these next few weeks, my dears, there will be things and decisions made on behalf of the Republic, which is you and I, those of us who reside in the United States. And certainly I'm not willing to make any predictions one way or the other. However, the impact will be felt no matter the decision, I genuinely imagine. Because when we move toward a place of evolution, it does require some transition time for the whole. So just wanted to touch on that. We will be, you all know, I started to discuss it last year when I felt it was kind of getting swept under the rug. And now everybody is on board. And so now we are all discussing it greatly, hopefully to a very beneficial end for the many, many, many soldiers, if nothing else, that are members of the GLBT community and their families. Because the thing that sticks in my craw the most, and you all have heard me say this, and I certainly think it bears repeating, that if we ask the gay and lesbian community to go to war, and they leave their children, and they leave their spouses behind, and then they make the ultimate sacrifice and they get a letter or they get a phone call or a visit from the Marines or from the Navy or for the Army and saying, sorry, your family member is gone. And then they leave them nothing. If you are straight and married in this country, if your spouse is murdered in the act of war, you get benefits, you get all manner of things. Because we are gay and lesbian members of the military, I'm not a member of the military, but gay and lesbian members of the military are not treated, nor are their families treated with the respect they are due. And that is probably my primary reason, myself personally, as a lesbian woman, for backing the right for any of my friends to be gay and to be married, for any of my straight friends to be straight and to be married and to be treated equally with the same of amount of respect and regard. And so that's it for me today. That's my soapbox. My dears, you know, we'll be coming back with whatever the decisions are handed down, and we will be spending a great deal of time celebrating or analyzing one of the two. All right, but before we go to break, I just want to give you guys a heads up. Again, if you know anyone who has endured the battle of overcoming cancer, no matter the kind of cancer, if you know loved ones who have lost someone as a result of cancer, or they are concerned that the gene seems to be more prevalent in their family, please send them a tweet, please send them an email, and tell them to tune in, because I will be welcoming Joe Grobes to the show after this break. And Joe Grobes, you say, well, Ms. Cleo, I don't know that name. Who is he? Entertainer, civil rights leader. Joe Grobes is the face of tomorrow. Joe Grobes is the face that says there is more than one way up the side of Mount Kilimanjaro. Joe Grobes is an inspiration. Joe Grobes' story gobsmacks me and gives me goosebumps all at the same time, because, wow, this gentleman, just so you all know, this gentleman was diagnosed with lung cancer in March of 2012, and we are now in March of 2013, and according to all of his doctors and his experts at Fox Chase Cancer Center, Joe Grobes is cancer-free. When you come back, you're going to hear his story and find out how he did it. So we're going to take a quick pause for the cause, and we'll be back with Joe Grobes of I Vow Cure for Cancer. Dog pack snacks are made by hand in small batches from grade A USDA inspected ingredients. They are licensed by the Florida Department of Agriculture. Dog pack snacks use chicken, not chicken broth. They use apples, not applesauce. Lean meats for high protein, fruits and veggies that have excellent nutritional value. Cocoa tested and approved. Cocoa is the chief tester on board, and she is a divalicious canine. So visit her at www.dogpacksnacks.com. And if you'd like to follow Cocoa and her crew, hit them up on Twitter at dogpacksnacks. If you are one of those people who is open to alternative medicine and naturopathic healing, then I've got just the place for you. It is West Palm Beach Acupuncture. Dr. Henry Shao, Vice President of the Chinese Association of Acupuncture and a Chinese Tai Chi master with more than 30 years' experience. Call Dr. Shao today or visit the office for a free consultation. Each session is $60. Do something nice for your health. He's located at 9100 Belvedere Road, Suite 110, West Palm Beach, Royal Palm Beach, Florida. 561-791-9970, or visit his website at www.westpalmbeachacupuncture.com. Bednar's Farm Fresh Market, one of the few remaining family-owned farms in South Florida. Their mission is to bring their customers a variety of locally grown produce that is tasty and affordable. You come in as a customer and you leave as a friend. strawberry and tomato, you pick open every day of the week except for Tuesday. Bednar Farm Fresh Market, located at 10066 Lee Road and 12033 US 441, Boynton Beach, Florida 33473. You can also give them a call at 561-733-5490 or visit them at their website www.bedners.com. Need a little comfort food to satisfy your belly and your soul? Then stop by Mother Earth Coffee and Cafe. Homemade bread pudding, buttermilk pancakes, sweet potato hash browns, and homemade turkey sausage. And I'm just talking about breakfast. Don't forget those yummy turkey burgers and those veggie burgers as well. Stop by 410 2nd Avenue North or give her a call, 561-460-8647. The line is sometimes long, but the meal is always worth the wait. Tell Patty Cleo sent you. All right, my dears, we are back. And before Joe calls in to the studio, I wanted to go ahead and give you all some social media and some website information, all right? You can like or follow I Vow Cure for Cancer on Facebook, and that's all spelled out, I-V-O-W, Cure, C-U-R-E, 4 F-O-R, Cancer, C-A-N. C-E-R. That's on Facebook. On Twitter, you can show love on Hail Up Joe at I-Vow, V-O-W, Cure, C-U-R-E, the number 4, Cancer, C-A-N-C-E-R. And to visit the website, which I must give mad props to, is wonderful, very informational, easy to navigate, and that's www.i-vow.com. Vow, V-O-W, Cure, C-U-R-E, F-O-R, Cancer, C-A-N-C-E-R.com. All right? And I've got Joe's website up here as well. We're going to kind of move through, but any of you that may be curious, by all means, go ahead and give it a visit. It, again, I have had people that I love, that have lost their battle to cancer. I have people that I love who have won their battle. And either is a tough go to roll. But I thought before we began the conversation with Joe, I wanted to give you guys just a few statistics here. And then this is from the Fox Chase Cancer Center. And some of these statistics I was able to find on Joe's website. So very well done again. Lung cancer still is the most deadliest cancer in this country, in the United States. It is more deadly than the combination of breast cancer, colon cancer, and prostate cancer combined. I was not aware of that. I certainly knew that it was up there. I was not aware that a combination of these three still does not exceed the number of deaths related or as a result of lung cancer. One, smokers out there, and again, there's no judgment. This is just the sharing of the information. Smokers out there, one in six men will get lung cancer. And for women, one in nine females, or one in nine women, will get cancer. Now, certainly there are variations to the vibration and how people live, et cetera, et cetera. But these are the statistics that are out there. So it certainly will make the hearing of Joe's story unbelievable. I personally gobsmacked and excited to hear how this occurred for him. So without further ado, join me, all of my loved ones out there who are so loyal to tune into Conversations with Cleo. Join me in welcoming Joe Grobes of I Vow Cure for Cancer. Joe, you there with us?
Yes, I am here. How are you, Miss Cleo?
I'm doing fine, baby love. Happy New Year to you, Papa. How's everything going?
Oh, it's going good. It's going good. It's getting a lot better. Getting a lot better.
Unbelievable. I have got goosebumps. I kid you not, because I don't play around with just saying things to blow smoke up people's dresses, Joe. But I got goosebumps because I probably have a bit more insight than my listeners do. But I just want to recap for those who are just joining us. I am absolutely correct, Joe, in saying when I say that you were diagnosed with lung cancer in March of 2012. And
correct.
From what I understand, you are now cancer-free in March of 2013. What the hell? I'm sorry. I don't know any other way to say it. So
yeah.
Come. What now? I wanna let you talk. People didn't tune in to hear me. So. What day, what was that moment like when you went and you started to, or what was even some of the symptoms that you were experiencing, Joe?
Well, the symptoms that I started experiencing was when it first happened, it seemed like I was having the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And I had those symptoms, you know, body aches everywhere, like really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that for a week. And then after, the flu-like symptoms went away for like say a day, and then I went back to work, and then when I went to work that night, I got these excruciating pains just shooting across my chest, like shooting pains, and it was really unbearable. So I left work, went home, and I went straight to bed, and then next thing you know, I got up at 5:30 in the morning, and I had to go to the emergency room.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and that's when they told me that I had pneumonia. So they told me that I had to check into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was telling them, no, I can't, because I just got this job. I was in between jobs. I just got this job, and I had to wait 90 days for my insurance to kick in.
Right, right.
So I'm telling them, well, just give me some medication. You know, I'll take it home, and I'll be good, rather than me check in and run up this astronomical bill.
Exactly.
And yeah. So that, but they wound up convincing me, telling me that I was really bad, really bad off. You really cannot walk out this hospital. You just don't understand, but you need to be here. So I did. I checked in. And so they were treating me for flu-like symptoms. But what it was they seen all, when they did a chest x-ray in the emergency room, is they saw all the cancer in my chest, but they just couldn't tell me because it wasn't confirmed. It just appeared that way. So until they get all the tests back, you know, they were just telling me I just had pneumonia, and that's all I was thinking the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when did all of the tests, now in between checking in the emergency room to the doctors coming and telling you, what? How many days are we talking about?
I would say had to be 6 days. I would say day 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
I would say day 7.
Mm-hmm.
Day 7 when I was in there, because I remember asking them on day 5. I said, you know, I said, I've been in here for a long time. I said, so how long do people with pneumonia normally stay in the hospital? And they said 3 days. And I said, so why am I here for so long? I said, I've been here for 5. And they said, well, because you don't have insurance, we want to make sure that you're all well and you're better before you walk out the door.
Right.
And that's what they were telling
me. Did you ever get any sense that they weren't giving you the full skinny on everything?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's a great question, because I was there for so long. I asked them. No, what I did was I had a friend of mine go to my house, get my computer, and bring it to the hospital.
On the internet.
Yeah. And I went to the internet, and I hired an internet doctor. I had to pay $80 for this doctor, and I told him what was happening to me in this hospital, the different types of tests and biopsies they were taking me through. And I just found it odd for somebody with pneumonia to have a biopsy. The doctor told me, and I told him that the next day they were going to perform another biopsy, which was called a bronchoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, I said, this is what they're going to do tomorrow to me. It's called a bronchoscopy, and they're going to do it, tomorrow. And is there anything that I should tell them to do or expect from this? And that's when they told me, normally people going through the procedures that you just outlined to me, normally people like that are diagnosed with lung cancer. And make sure they do the bronoscopy this way, and they said had a certain kind of way and told me there were different procedures for it. So I never even, to be honest with you, I never saw the words lung cancer. I mean, like literally, I never even saw those words. The only thing I seen was make sure this hospital performs their bronoscopy this way.
Right, right.
So when the doctor came in that night and introduced himself, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so, I'll be performing your bronoscopy tomorrow. And this is late night, say around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I said to him, and I said, what is wrong with me? And he says, what do you mean? And I said, just the question, what is wrong with me? I said, you guys are taking me through all these series of tests, biopsies, bronoscopy now. I said, and I know there's something wrong. I said, there's no way I would be in the hospital for this long, and there's nothing else that you're looking for. So I said, so what are you looking for? And he says, well, that's what we're trying to find out. And I said, okay. I said, well, you know, I went on the Internet, and I hired this doctor, and I told the whole story, and I turned my computer screen around, and I said, he told me, make sure that the procedure is performed like this, and are you performing the procedure like this? And he says, no, we're doing it XYZ way. And I said, okay. And he assured me that was a good way and it was safe and all this. I said, okay. So, again, I said to him, I said, what happened to the first biopsy? I said, what happened to the results of that? Because no one ever told me of those results. And he told me, he says, we're not going to look at those results because those came up inconclusive. And I said, no. I said, you're going to tell me what those results said. I said, I would like to know what they said, though. And he said, it doesn't matter what they said because we're not going to use them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, it does matter. And I kind of got indignant because he was dancing around my question.
Absolutely.
You know, and for doctors to walk into your room, just to walk in the door is $250, or whether they open their mouth or not. So you don't walk in here, you're going to walk out of here and say something.
You're going to tell me something, brother man.
Right, as many times as you're walking in here.
Right.
And that's when, you know, I had to keep pushing and pushing and get just really indignant. And that's when he says, well, these results diagnose you with stage 4 lung cancer. And I said, well, I know what lung cancer is. I said, but what is stage 4? And he says, well, that's the highest level of cancer that a person can have.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't believe it, you know, and it really didn't sink in. Mm-hmm. And then he says to me, I'm sorry that I'm the one to be able to tell you that. I said, yeah. I said, I am too.
Yeah,
and,
right?
he asked me any more questions. At that point, I was kind of numb, you know, and he walked
out.
Yeah,
what other question do I have at this point? I just got to sit and get comfortable with it.
Exactly. And then one of the nurses came in later and told me that I was going to need hospice care and I should look into that. And it was really just crazy. It was really a crazy...
Well, it's interesting that they've already killed you. Hospice care is for those who are transitioning. What the hell? That's not very good bedside manner. And, boy, you certainly showed them. So
I
don't want to skip ahead, but I think it's very... In my short-sightedness, I should have scheduled this for two parts because I think it's amazing. So even if we run a little bit long, folks, you won't be able to hear us live, but you'll be able to hear it on the archived show. But now, Joe, just to skip ahead here a little bit, so once you kind of got resident with the fact that you had stage 4 lung cancer, now, let me ask you, were you a smoker?
Yes, I was a smoker. I smoked about 2 cigarettes a day, maybe every blue moon, maybe 3, but that was very uncommon. And none of my friends or people that I knew even knew that I even smoked cigarettes.
Interesting. So with somebody who's smoking 2 or 3 cigarettes a day, you know what I'm saying, at the maximum, were there any other environmental issues that perhaps you could contribute this lung cancer to? Did you work in an office where there you were getting in contact with a lot of secondhand smoke or in a field where there were other carcinogens where you worked around?
No, at all. At all. I mean, I didn't even smoke at work, so people at work didn't even know I smoked.
Wow.
You know, yeah, everybody went outside. You know, they had a smoking area, a break area.
Everyone
had to go outside. So I was never involved, you know, around a lot of cigarette smoking or anything like that.
That's really something, boy.
Yeah.
Environmental on so many levels. Now, when they, you, like I said, when you got resident with this information, just out of curiosity for my listeners, because I know what they come with, but what was their next recommendation with regard to your health outside of this nurse who was ready to set you up for hospice already?
Yeah. they wanted me to check into a cancer treatment center immediately within within 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, when I found out, the next day I called my parents and told them, and they actually came walking through my hospital room the very next day, and I never told them what hospital I was in. I never mentioned
anything.
A mama
and a daddy can always find their
picture
around.
Oh, exactly. And so they came walking through my room and said, we flew out here to come and get you.
Yeah.
And they took me back to Philadelphia, and I had just the biggest problems out there because I didn't have insurance. So I was denied everywhere I called, no doctor, no hospital. Nobody would see me, help me, do anything because of the fact that I had no insurance. And the state of Pennsylvania turned me down for assistance because they said I had too many resources. You know, I had retired from my from a position before I was in between jobs,
mm-hmm.
Where I had worked at a Bank of America for as an assistant vice president,
mm-hmm.
and I retired from that company. And with that company, I had a full pension plan for a full 401k, savings accounts, checking accounts, and they told me because of the resources I have, money, is that we cannot help you. And so they didn't. They denied me, and no one else would look at me, and no other agencies, no one would touch me. And I'm prior military, so I said, well, my last resort is to go to the military,
to the
VA.
Right.
So I went to the VA, and they turned me down for assistance because they said I made too much money the year prior.
Jeez, boy.
So everyone just left me out there, basically. I mean, it's just to die is what happens to you. And so what I did was I called the state of Pennsylvania again back in desperation, and explain my entire story of how I lived in Vegas and everything that I retired and did. This is why I have all this money. I was preparing for my retirement and everything. And I said, now I'm here. My parents brought me here. And I just need someone with some compassion and a little help. And they said, wow, this is a story that we have never heard before. So they escalated up to the state of Pennsylvania, to which they wound up telling me, you have 2 days to cash in everything that you have, and then we will help you with your assistance. And that's what I had to do. I had to cash in everything that, you know.
You know, it just I'm just tweeting out for people to tune in and listen to your story because it's so layered, Joe, because certainly we know that healthcare in this country is a paradigm that no one should have to go through well. Nonetheless, have to go through after doctors have lobbed on you this enormous piece of information, and then to have to then chase down where to find your assistance is mind-boggling to me. So now your parents came to get you, and they live in Philly. So now I know that the treatment center there, first for a moment, because there are commercials out there and whatnot, and I don't know that all of us understand what a cancer treatment is. In a couple of sentences, can you tell us what the difference between a cancer treatment center is and then just being treated at a hospital, if you would?
Well, a cancer treatment center is they basically focus on just cancer itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the hospital, they would have to have a specialized ward, a cancer ward within the hospital that would specialize in some type of cancer procedures.
Okay.
So, and it's so funny. I heard you mention the Fox Chase Cancer Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because when I left Las Vegas, I called Fox Chase Cancer Center and told them my concern, and I'm on my way to Philadelphia, and you know, can they help me? And they was very nice, very sympathetic, and they told me that they could not because I don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Or some type of payment to pay for the procedure. So understandable. I hung up, got to Philadelphia, went through everything that I possibly could have went through. I woke up like 5 a.m. every day me and my family just trying to call every agency possible to help me. And then it wound up, which is a long story, but to make a long story short, is my assistance came from the doctor from the Chop Fox Chase Cancer Center. That's how good God is.
Well, that's quite the person then, you know, because and what's your doctor's name?
Dr. Stacy Sue.
Dr. Sue, enough respect, because there are plenty of doctors out there who will focus on the bottom line. They will focus on the matrix that they are a part of, and I understand all of the, you know, the pros and the cons. But again, Dr. Sue, enough respect. Just want to let people know that there are doctors out there who actually care. And if you do want to catch an interview with Dr. Sue, it is on, there is a little over a 3-minute interview on Joe's website, i-valcureforcancer.com. Very well spoken, and the information very easy for the layperson to digest and understand. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Joe about the first days of what kind of treatment they did recommend coming from Dr. Sue. And then we're going to get to the really juicy part of how Joe took that information and then utilize it in a different way to cure himself and took back his own power and then took back his own life. So we'll be right back. Have a special event coming up like a wedding, concert, a big week visiting for a very important corporate meeting, or just a night out on the town with friends. Looking for that right limo service? Then check out Live Limo. 10% off your first service, 5% off when you open a corporate account. You can contact them at 800-557-5154, or if you're local, 561-414-9686. Check them out on Facebook, or you can visit their website at www.livelimousineusa.com. Live Limo, the most reliable luxury transportation service in South Florida. Ask for Carlos or Nadla. Tell them Cleo sends her love. Ozo 2, the future of dry cleaning. Eco-friendly, convenience-driven, and customer-conscious. Free pickup and delivery, biodegradable bags, and a hanger return program in order to keep their prices low. Stop by for a visit at any of their locations in West Palm Beach and now in Jupiter, or visit them at www.ozo2usa.com. That's ozo2usa.com. Or you can like them on Facebook as well. Thank you, Ozo 2, for keeping the planet in mind. All right, guys, we are back with Joe Grobes of iVow Cure for Cancer. If you are just joining us, wow, try and get in where you can fit in and catch up. We're going to get back to our conversation with Joe. Now, Joe, when you checked into the Fox Chase Cancer Treatment Center and Dr. Sue, what were her first recommendations for you?
Well, where I actually checked in at was the Delaware County Hospital.
And okay.
She has a division from the Fox Chase Cancer Center within that hospital.
Brilliant.
And that's how I wound up getting in contact with her. And so I was really blessed, you know, that God actually sent her my way, you know, and she's one of the top surgeons, lung cancer surgeons, thoracic surgeons in the United States. And at the time, I wasn't even aware of that. You know, she appeared to be young.
Mm-hmm.
And when I seen her, I was like, wow, I'm about to go through this major surgery of my lungs. And I'm looking at her like, wow, you're kind of young. Are you sure that you just didn't graduate school? You know, and I asked her that question. I said, are you... do you feel confident? No, what did I ask her? I said, do you feel capable of performing this surgery on me, being the complexity of it? And she says, I can assure you, I have all confidence. No, this is what I asked her. I asked her, has she ever performed this type of surgery before? And she says, I can assure you I have all confidence that I can perform your surgery successfully. But she never answered my question, as have you ever performed a surgery before? So I realized that when she said it, and I left it alone. I just said, just go with it.
Well, yes, because certainly if Josh sent her your way, then certainly she had the capability to pull it off. But I do like her answer. Very smart,
exactly,
doctor.
Exactly. So, so anyway, she told me, you know, she takes me through this. You know, you go through a lot of consultations, tells me what I need and what I'm going to go through.
Right.
And it was so funny because prior to that, I had spoke to people with cancer, with lung cancer, and who were currently going through it prior to my surgery. And it was just a nightmare. It was a horror story of the different stories I heard. And so I was mentally preparing myself for what I was going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I had my consultations with her, she's explaining the same things, you know, and I'm in the cancer ward, and you see everybody walking around, you know, who have cancer, you know, which is not, you know, a pleasant thing to look at.
It can be tough. It can be tough.
Yes, and it was very tough for me to see that and to see that I was that person now.
Right, right.
But she told me everything that you're going to go through a major depression, and this, that, and the other, and things you liked before the surgery, you might not like after the surgery, and vice versa. And it was, you know, your body's going to go through this major confirmation because it's not going to know who you are, and you're not going to know who you are, and you're going to have to get to know who you are all over again. And I'm like, you're kidding me.
So then, let me just ask you: you did indeed have the surgery, right?
Correct.
Okay. And now, how long was that actual surgery?
The surgery she told me was supposed to be for four and a half hours, and it wound up being like 9 to 10 hours.
Wow!
Because things just didn't go right, and when they brought me out, I was in so much pain, there was no way that they said that I should have been in that much pain.
Mm-hmm.
They said I was going to be in a lot of pain, but they said, like, your monitor is off the chart. I mean, there's nowhere else that it can go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know you're in a lot of pain, and I was telling them how much, and then they said, I couldn't move of something, my fingers on my left side.
Mm-hmm.
So they took me back in, and then did whatever they did, and then they brought me back out, and then things they was telling me that I had to get out the bed in the next half hour and walk. I said, "There's no way. I can't even move in the pain.
Right.
You want me to walk?" But they said you have to. That's what stimulates the body and everything to start moving again.
Wow.
But they seen I was in so much pain that they actually waived that for that night. And said, but early in the morning, I have to start treatment immediately.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So now, bring us ahead, because on your website, I have it up here, you talk, there's a fabulous page where you talk about cancer, anti-cancer foods. Now, as you got through, did you go through chemo?
No. You know, it's so funny with this story. I kept asking the doctors, the doctors kept telling me, we don't know the outcome of this, we're not going to know the outcome of this surgery until we actually get inside you. They said, then once we get inside, then we can actually see exactly what we're dealing with, you know, where all the cancer is, what we have to do, and the actual procedure that we're going to perform. So I really literally had no answers of what was going to happen afterwards. No one did. So they get inside me and they remove the cancer, and it was under my heart as well. So they had to lift up my heart and take the cancer out from under my heart, you know, where it did not spread to my heart, which I was blessed there as well.
Yes, my dear.
I'm telling you. So, and then after that, then they came out and they said that, say like day one, I mean, I was having all these day one, two, three, four, and five. I was having all these complications every day where I had to have these like bronchoscopies done, and they're just horrible things to go through, believe me.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, really, and then a whole bunch of other nasty procedures that is just so much that a person with cancer has to go through is really something else.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, they came in on day four, I would say day four, and the assistant said, did Dr. Sue come speak to you this morning? And I said, no. I said, not yet. And she says, well, we have good news for you. And I said, well, what's the news? She says, you are now 100% cancer-free.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even speak.
Wow.
I really couldn't. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I just couldn't believe it. You know, it's just that, you know, God has really just came down and just blessed me. And,
right.
You know, and she was able to get all the cancer out and everything. And then, you know, and before that, we was talking about chemo and radiation and all this, and they was taking me to the chemo room, the radiation room, and showing me all the rooms, how it works, the procedures. And then after my surgery, they told me that I was not going to need any chemo nor radiation.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so crazy. You know, as I said, on day one, two, three, four, and on the fifth day is I was laying in the bed, and this was my routine daily. I was just laying in the bed, and that's it. That's literally it. I couldn't move. It was so much pain. They had to get a specialist to make up another some medicine in a pump machine. So I had two, which were greater than morphine because the pain was that strong and it wouldn't go away. So on day five, you know, my day was just laying in the bed and not even literally barely even turning my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I was laying there and I was scared to move even a finger or toe, anything. And I'm just looking out the window and my head was pressed against the rail. And I prayed to God and said, God, I said, if this is your will for me to live like this for the rest of my life, I said, then I will live according to your will. I said, but at this time, I said, I ask you, please, to come and help me. I said, because I need your help. I said, desperately. And, wow, you know, and God came and he helped me that night, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, the nurses are running in the room saying, Joe, your numbers are getting better on these machines. And, you know, and he said, I think that we better call your doctor. And they called the doctor. She came to the hospital, and everybody's like, this is a miracle. They couldn't even believe it.
Wow.
Just all of a sudden. You know, they said, I mean, my cardiologist was coming into the room daily and, you know, having on all this medicine and, you know, telling me I'm probably going to have little mini heart attacks and, you know, and they happened. You know, the things did happen on my way out the hospital. I had like three of them.
Oh, my gosh. Three mini heart attacks on your way out to the hospital?
On my way out the hospital. After they took me out the cancer ward, and that's when it happened. And they was like, wow. So I had a team of doctors that were great in assisting me with this. But, you know, the main doctor was, you know, me is my God. My God came in and put all these team of doctors around me who were specialists, and he bought the best. You know, and then he came and he helped me and healed me. And the main thing was one thing I did not do is you asked me basically something about how did I really get healed. First and foremost, God came and healed me, but he gave me the strength not to listen what anyone told me, and I guarded my hearing.
Right.
To them,
yes.
For
yes.
Them, you know, to where they were saying, is you're going to become, you're going to go into this major depression. You're going to do this. Your body's going to do all this. And I just guarded my hearing from all of that, and I said no. And I told them prior to that surgery when I was in her office, I said, Dr. Sue, I said, you and the team of doctors who are going to assist you, I said, you guys got 1 year and a half to fix me because I'm going back to Vegas so I can go back to work. And they all laughed at me. They just laughed, and I laughed with them, you know. But I was very serious. I said, y'all have a year and a half. I said, I cannot go through what everybody's going through with this 2 and 3 years and all this chemo and radiation. I said, I will go through all of that. I said, but I need to be fixed in a year and a half. I said, and I'm going to fix this. I said, so tell me what I need to do.
Wow.
And they looked at each other and looked at me, you know, like I was the crazy one, you know, but look at me today, you know.
I mean, it is, let me tell you why, I sit here and on my show I often share stories and different vibrations about my family, which is both those that share my blood and those that just share love. But my partner's brother, her oldest brother, died of lung cancer, and say about 7 or 8 years ago, and so she's very sensitive to the efforts of the research that's going on for lung cancer. She's very sensitive to anyone who smokes that she cares about, because of the loss so immediate for her. And if we even hear someone on the news or something like that, it isn't automatic when you hear lung cancer and you hear a number of other cancers, people synonymously associate it with a death sentence. And I certainly believe that belief or knowledge in something that is greater than ourselves, whether you call it God, whether you call it Jah, no matter the name you assign to it, that connection that we know that there is something that is greater out there that cares for us, and that cares what happens to us, and that once we decide, even as individuals, as creations of this greater being, that we can, again, despite, I love what you say, I preach about this all the time, and it almost sounds preachy, that's the reason I use that word, is, you know, don't allow negativity into your world. Don't allow anyone to tell you what you can and cannot do. Do not allow anyone to tell you what you can and cannot overcome. Yeah. And it is important when you're moving through something difficult, like recovering from any number of cancers or recovering from an illness, that if you are a family member of that person, then you know we have the power, in my opinion, to both create and heal as creatures and of this greater being, Jah, Jehovah, God, Muhammad. I don't really care what you call it or what you call them. I certainly think that they don't care either. But we cannot just sit back. And, you know, I think it's a mind-body-spirit thing. And so many people that I know that have survived cancer didn't listen to the sadness of things. They focused on making themselves well. They focused on communicating with the Creator. They focused on taking all of that in and then trusting what was provided to them, which sounds like what happened with you. So now, is this the reason, or tell me more about iVow Cure for Cancer. Tell me about this charity that you have obviously been inspired to set up so that you can help others moving through similar vibrations.
You know, when iVow Cure for Cancer, it's so funny of how I've started this organization. When I first was getting out the hospital, and it took me out to cancer ward, put me into general hospital. And I told my parents and everyone, I said, the first thing I want to do when I get out of this hospital is I want to go to cancer treatment centers and hospitals and just speak to the patients and motivate them, that they too can motivate themselves. Put in your mind you're going to get better. This is just a walk. This is just something you have to go through right now, but you will get better. And that's what I kept telling myself daily. This is going to get better. This is just the process I have to go through. And that was that. So I kept saying it all the way out. So on my last day, it was so funny, that a woman walks into my room and says, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm from the Cancer Survivor Celebration Committee. And we just heard that you just survived cancer, and we would like to honor you at a Cancer Survivor Celebration for you to come and tell your story and speak." So that I was like, wow. I said, listen to this. So God heard me of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing that happened to me good. So after that, that's when I started looking into that. And then it just wound up branching off to iVow Cure for Cancer. It became much bigger than what I could ever imagine, you know, to what I've done with this. And so that's what I'm doing, is I want to give back toward cancer research because of the fact that lung cancer is the number one cause of cancer deaths, but it is the least funded out of all the cancers.
Are you kidding me? It's the least funded?
the least.
Now, I didn't know
funded.
That. I hope you all are listening out there because that, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, I got a goosebump because I can't even, it's the least funded. That makes
the
no
least
sense.
No,
boy, that
sense.
Sounds like some lobby bullshit to me, boy.
Exactly.
See, I'm sorry. That, you know, I'm going to take it. I'm going to keep it 100, Joe. That sounds
yes.
like some lobby crap to me, man.
And you're right. That is, I can't even believe that. I'm like, well, if it's the highest number of deaths, why is it
least
the least
funded?
Why? Yeah.
All right. Mm.
Yeah, why? So I think the majority of focus is basically on breast cancer. You know, all
yeah.
the cancers are all, you know, just horrible diseases. But if you see some numbers are higher than the other, I mean, why would you? I just don't understand why one is focused on more than the other. I think it should be across the board. All cancer should be focused on the
exactly.
same.
And it shouldn't
all
be
level.
The one, you know. But again, we know the stuff of, you know, and again, this is not about the folks that helped you. But unfortunately, the bigger problem is even out of the hands of the doctors and the specialists and the surgeons. This
it
greater
is.
Problem happens on K Street. In the District of Columbia, you
That's
know,
right.
because,
That's right.
you know, we all know that the tobacco companies are
mm-hmm.
one of the largest lobbies, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
There are so many ways that certainly I'm not up for government telling people what to do with their lives. If you choose to have a habit that isn't the healthiest for you, that's entirely up to you.
Mm-hmm.
But when it starts to become an issue where it is... We know that there is a problem in this country, and we know that it is a death sentence kind of cancer, yet you tell me that it is the least funded, and
mm-hmm.
that makes no sense. You understand? So when something don't make no sense to me, something fishy I go on. You understand?
Right.
And that's just, I'm sure most of my listeners are absolutely gobsmacked at
mm-hmm.
that information right there and are struggling with it as much as I am. So now, with iVal Cancer, will you be doing speaking tours or like speaking engagements throughout the country? Or from because you're on both coasts now, you're on the West Coast in Vegas, and then you know your curing happened in on the other coast, the East Coast. So will you be talking with people and other events coming soon?
Yes. My focus is to have fundraisers throughout
mm-hmm.
throughout the country. So if anyone needs for looking for you know a cancer nonprofit organization to come in, whatever they would like to assist with donations that would go toward this wonderful cause, what I would do is I would definitely come to you. They can definitely give me a call. They can contact me by going to the website, and I can definitely locate you know to where they are so we can plan a function together. That would definitely where the funds would definitely go toward this great cause.
Let me just let my listeners know I'm on your website, Joe. Bless your heart. And Joe's a good-looking man. If those of you who haven't got it, checked him out, he's a good-looking brother. I don't know. I'm not trying to get into your personal business, Joe. If I get any tweets, I'll pass them on for any of the ladies out there. I'm all up in Joe's business. My bad. I hope I ain't upset nobody.
No.
But there are some wonderful pictures here with Joe's family and Dr. Sue. And Joe being very brave. I mean, I see one here where you don't look too happy to be in the wheelchair, but maybe you're on your way out of the hospital and not too much more concerned and just ready to get better.
Yeah.
Just some wonderful people here that I'm assuming helped you through this process, and you have a beautiful family as well. But these are some pretty, I'm trying to hold it together because I'll start crying. These are some pretty inspirational pictures. And so mad love out as well to Delaware County Memorial Hospital for being as good as you were to Joe. And Joe really did let you into his life. He is in different stages of testing. You see him well. You see some of he's letting you see. I see one here where you're moving through the hospital. You got more contraptions than R2-D2 attached to you. Bless your heart.
I tell you.
No, so, and then there's one where it looks like you're leaving and you've got your hands up in the air.
Yeah.
Like you're happy. You know,
oh.
and it's just, Wow,
feeling.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
my listeners know I'm a big old panty waist, you know? And because it is so important to understand, because here's the other thing, and this is, you know, I do know a little bit about Joe, and I hear that you stress sometimes, Joe, and I'm going to say it again to all of mine out there within the sound of my voice. Stress is underrated, my dears. And to get through what Joe got through, he had to put that stress on the back burner, I have no doubt, and he's going to have to keep it on the back burner, because we do have the ability to take participation in our lives and in how we live our lives. And I'm certainly, all of the people that did share their stories with Joe meant nothing but to just help him. He shows a picture of his scar. This is, you know, it's a brave individual that lets you into the parts of, I love the Las Vegas picture, too. There's a picture.
Yeah, that's a picture of me coming back home for the first time.
Coming back home. So, yeah. You know, my dears, we have the power to manifest. We have the power to heal ourselves. We have the power to heal all kinds of situations in our own world as well as on this amazing planet. I'm going to pull it together, I promise, here. Well, you know, I folks who listen to my show on a regular know I just lost my sister-in-law. And she was a victor over breast cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
So she survived it, but a massive heart attack was her undoing. And fueled definitely by a great deal of stress. And so I have been urging all of mine to really, really take care of yourself, take care of your family. There is always time, you know, there is always time to slow it down. Because if you're always staying fast and worrying about not being enough time, that seems to be when we forget. And to have family and friends that will rally around you and walk that walk with you. Certainly, not only are you blessed by the doctors that you were encountered by and cared for by Joe, but it sounds like you have a pretty awesome family there. You understand?
I do. Wonderful.
Friend. And again, the whole family looks good. The whole family got good genes.
Oh, thanks.
The whole family is beautiful. And this story I got to ask a question. I got to ask a leading question here, Joe. Is there a book forthcoming? Because certainly we can't cover everything in this hour show. But, boy, I know that I would like to read the fullness of the story. And there are probably a lot of people out there. Will you be doing something like that forthcoming?
Well, that is a thought, and that has been something that I definitely thought about, and hopefully I can get that worked out in the very near future. And if I do, I will definitely let you know.
Well, I am so happy and joyous to know you. You are a genuine inspiration. For those of you, go to the website. There's this great little link there, widget there for donations. Go ahead. I have my iVow cancer bracelet. I have it with me, and I'm very joyous to support. Joe Conversations with Cleo will support this effort. Joe is driving the car and moving it forward, and we are going to get real participatory in this as we move through 2013. We are continuing to send all kinds of healthy vibration and love your way. Nothing but the utmost success to you, Joe. No matter what may have been lost, I am almost certain you will recover it threefold and still having a grand time in Las Vegas and sharing your story. Before we finish today, and I'm going to stop running my mouth, is there anything, any kind of message, any kind of a voice of positivity for anyone who is listening to this show that may be moving through the battle with cancer, no matter the cancer? Is there something you'd like to say to them, Joe?
Yes. You know, the other day I was in a, I was speaking to a little boy. He was about 10 years old, and he has cancer, and he was depressed. And I spoke to his mother, and his mother wanted me to meet him. So that's how I wound up meeting the little boy. And I spoke to him and encouraged him and says, no matter what the doctors tell you, you remain positive in your mind that you're going to get better soon. It's going to get there soon, but this is the process you have to go through now to get better. But you keep smiling, I said, and do not let anything bring you down. And I encourage the parents to keep him around nothing but love. I said, as long as you guys keep him around love and everything, I said, and keep him upbeat, I said, he will also get better soon too. So I encourage everybody, keep your mind focused. Don't get into a negativity. Stay away from negativity. Don't even let people talk about it in front of you.
Well, I that's amazing, Joe. And I think it comes down to three words: is the power of love.
Yeah.
I've seen it work many a time and many a day, my dear. And many times it is the love of that mother or that family, and all of that energy moving towards that loved one to heal them, it's nothing short of miraculous. Joe, I want to thank you so much. We're going to be checking back in, boss man. I like conversing with you. You are chatting like I am.
Definitely. Well, I greatly appreciate you having me on your show. This is an honor for me as well to even meet you. And for you to help promote cancer awareness and my new organization, IVAL Cure for Cancer. Ms. Cleo, thank you again. It's been an honor.
I love you, boss. You have a great week. We'll be chatting soon.
All right. Thank you so much. You too.
Bye-bye, dear.
All right.
All right, folks, we ran over time, so I know you're not hearing me live right at this moment, but you are listening to the archived one, then you're still hearing me. We're going to close out today's show. A lot of stuff coming up this week, as you all know. My second CD, Full Moon Madness, drops on the 30th, which is this coming Saturday, and we have a full moon on the 27th, and that's on Wednesday, so we're going to keep it moving. Busy week, all kinds of things, family coming into town, so we're going to try and keep it as normal as possible, but if we don't, I just want you to fasten your seatbelts and hang on for the ride. Until that time, take care of yourself and those that love you. Peace.